RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for our Wilms Report. Tim Wilms beaming in from Melbourne, Australia, from theunshackled.net. And Tim, we haven't talked for a few weeks. It's great to be back with you. Thanks for coming back on.
It's great to be back, but unfortunately here in Melbourne, it is still cold, wet and windy. It's a miserable freezing winter here.
Has it been like that since we last talked? Have you had a break in the weather at all in that time?
Well, there was one day where the sun was shining and there was a bit of heat, but of course that was not to last. But apparently elsewhere in the world, it's the hottest day on record. I'm not sure what it's like there in Queenstown where you've moved to.
My feet are like ice blocks at the moment, and I've got, you know, quite substantial socks, got my shoes on. I'm even wearing a jacket as we do this morning. I'm just kind of getting used to it, Tim. But the weather here for the last few days has been very wet. There's been flooding around the place. So, you know, you're not on your own, okay?
Though, according to the news media, the earth is still literally on fire. Though, even though it's supposed to be summer in the northern hemisphere, we've seen the Olympics be dampened by the wet and also by what the hell went on in the opening ceremony.
Oh my God. OMG is all I can say.
All I will say is that I hope that the 2032 Brisbane Olympic Organising Committee don't get any ideas. We don't want that sort of embarrassment on a world stage. Although it's not shaping up well, the Brisbane Olympics, they're still dithering about whether the Olympic Stadium will be the Gabba or it'll be the 1982 Athletics Park or whether they'll build a completely new stadium. So it's not going well for Brisbane.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure, Tim, about taking on board what happened in Paris. Seems these days that none of that matters anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that, you know, next level for Brisbane, just saying. I remember it was the Commonwealth Games, wasn't it, in Brisbane back in the 80s? Am I thinking it wasn't
the
Olympics?
Yes, there was a flag, what would you call it, a disaster there as well. They left off Tasmania off the Australian flag. So it wasn't a matter of the flag being upside down. They forgot one of the states.
How do you explain that? Crikey. You'd think that would get through all the checking. Anyway.
You would think so. Luckily, the Sydney 2000 Olympics, they were called the best ever. They were.
No, I thought they were great. I watched most of that. I really enjoyed the entertainment they put on too, you know, with John Paul Young and all of that. Yeah, so how are the Aussie team doing so far?
Well, there's been a lot of gold medals so far. As of the last time I checked the medal tally, we are at the top of the medal tally. So all the Australians are saying, let's just end there. Obviously, we have a flurry of gold at the start because of the aquatics and swimming. Though the swimmers did embarrass Australia on the world stage when they arrived in Paris wearing masks to stop them getting COVID, even though our chef de mission, Anna Mears, who is also a veteran of the Sydney Olympics, said that they are treating COVID like they would the flu. This is not Tokyo. Now, despite the aquatics athletes arriving in masks, it still didn't stop two members of the Australian women's water polo team testing positive to COVID. And then they were isolated and then close contacts were tested because, what is it, they still have the Australian Olympic Committee respiratory illness protocols, which allow for early diagnosis and treatment.
There is no treatment.
Well, if they're treating COVID like the flu, pre-2020, the last normal Olympics was Rio 2016, there was no testing for the flu and masks at airports. And this is the whole thing. You didn't take a test back then to work out if you were sick. So why are our athletes still doing this?
Yeah, masks don't work. The vaccine obviously doesn't work.
They probably all had a booster before they went of the latest whatever update there is.
Yeah, yeah.
So none of it works.
It's madness. All right, it's the Olympics of stupidity, if we're thinking about that.
The Australian athletes have been told not to wear their uniforms out and about in Paris to avoid being seen as vulnerable tourists because, well, that is part of modern France. That wasn't in the opening ceremony.
No, they didn't include that, but you're right.
No, the diversity melting pot cultural enrichment. And about 100 of Channel 9's journalists say they striked for 5 days on the eve of the Olympics, but nobody's noticed any difference in their coverage. So still shows that there's wasteful fat in the mainstream media.
100 journalists in one company.
Yes. Wow. Channel 9, which is their newspapers, their television. And
oh,
their
gotcha. Radio. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. I think we'll get back to a bit of sport AFL shortly, but let's look at some politics. Albo cabinet reshuffle. Tim, who's been shuffled and why?
Well, this was triggered by the retirement of the skills and training minister, Brendan O'Connor, and the Indigenous Australians minister, Linda Burney, who, of course, her legacy is the failed Indigenous voice referendum. She was supposed to be the person to sell it to the Australian people, but she couldn't without basically written notes. So she was a bit like Joe Biden when it came to reading off teleprompters and notes. So she will be retiring at the next election. So Melindimra McCarthy, the senator for the Northern Territory, she'll be the new Indigenous Australians minister, who I'll say is not bad. I mean, she stood up to Lydia Thorpe when Lydia Thorpe was saying that Indigenous people who are police officers couldn't be really trusted to have Indigenous welfare at the forefront of mind.
How are the Liberals doing? Has this been in response to polls as well?
Well, in the latest round of polls, and what is mainly looked at in our polling is what's termed the two-party preferred, because we have a preferential voting system. So in three of the four polls, so that is Freshwater, Redbridge, also Resolve, the Liberal Nationals are ahead two-party preferred. And inflation is still going. Looks like there'll be a rate rise next Tuesday by the Reserve Bank.
That won't go down too well, will it?
We're getting another round of inflation figures later this week. But Albanese and his ministers, they just seem to be in this bubble. They just don't get it. Move sideways in this reshuffle was the Home Affairs Minister, Claire O'Neill. She is now the Housing and Homelessness Minister.
Oh, okay.
And so the new Home Affairs and Immigration Minister is Tony Burke, who, well, he's failed in that portfolio before when he was Immigration Minister under Julia Gillard, when all the boats were coming in. And also the Immigration Minister, Andrew Giles, he's also been moved sideways. So he is now the Minister for Skills and Training. And we have Mark Dreyfus, the Attorney General, who the reason why they're being shifted sideways, Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles, is because of the disaster of releasing 150 criminal detainees as a result of a court decision. But it was the Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, who allowed the Human Rights Commission to lobby for these criminals' release. So he hasn't been moved at all. He is in his 60s, so a lot of people were speculating he might retire, but he's not. But he's actually being rewarded. He is absorbing some of the Home Affairs departments, such as ASIO, the spy agency, and the Crime and Investigation Commission, ACAC, which looks at organised crime. So he's actually become the most powerful person in the cabinet apart from the Prime Minister.
What sort of impact have the reshuffle has it made, Tim? Does it have any sort of kind of effect? Do people pay any attention?
It's still the same ministers who oversaw the immigration detainee fiasco are still in the ministry.
Right.
The Albanese government, there is no course change. Also, there's still the renewables rollout. He is continuing. Chris Bowen had a zinger against LNP Senator Jared Rennick, calling him a cooker for his views on, well, there being a lack of human-induced climate change. Though they're all gunning for Barnaby Joyce today, pardon the pun, because he addressed an anti-wind farm rally yesterday in the Illawarra and said, use your ballot as a bullet, load it and fire it at the Prime Minister.
That'd be a controversial thing to say.
Stephen Jones, yes, especially in this. As far as I know, Barnaby Joyce was sober when he made this comment.
All right. This is alarming. Local monkeypox outbreak. Tell us about that. How big is this?
It's even higher than the initial 2022 outbreak. 76 cases have been detected in the past 3 months. This compares with just 8 for last year. And so it's being driven in the men who have sex with men community, which is, of course, a medical term.
Is that like an official kind of term descriptor, is it? Who do they mean, Tim?
They mean homosexual men. The Chief Health Officer of Victoria, Claire Looker, has suggested they create sex bubbles and maintain contact details of all their sexual partners. So sorry, it's not called monkeypox anymore. Remember, it's called Mpox, because apparently that monkeypox was racist and stigmatizing. So apparently Victoria is now fourth in the world for monkeypox cases behind.
Why don't they just tell them not to have sex? I mean, we weren't allowed to go out.
You don't want to stigmatize them.
Well, they stigmatized everybody else who didn't cooperate during COVID. So why not stigmatize these people? I mean, you know, fair's fair.
But they're a protected, vulnerable group. But
vulnerable to Mpox.
So they've also been encouraged to get vaccinated. The Bavarian Nordic Ginos vaccine, which apparently you can still get it if you're double jabbed, but you just get milder symptoms.
Safe and effective. Okay, that's a weird one.
We haven't had any more bird flu detections, though it has.
How are the chickens doing?
2 million have been slaughtered.
2 million?
But we have the Australian government is planning a simulation of a bird flu outbreak in our wildlife. They're saying that it's going to affect our local wild birds with birds.
Well, like cockatoos.
Well, any type of bird, and they're also worried about because it infects mammals now, such as sea lions. So maybe they're worried about the penguins.
Fear. Here comes the fear.
But there's also and I think we all knew this was coming, there's a push to have compulsory registration of backyard chickens because apparently cause the pandemic. And Dan Andrews did pass new local agricultural biosecurity laws where basically the state's biosecurity teams can come into any property and seize and destroy, whether it be chickens or anything else there in the name of biosecurity.
This is dystopian, Orwellian. This is horrible. This just feels horrible, doesn't it?
If they can't get their bird flu pandemic, especially in time for the US presidential election, they at least want to decimate the food supply and also curb people's being self-sufficient on their farms. Also, they want to drive out the farmers and have all corporate farms. That's part of the global push.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. 2 million chickens, the great chicken cull. Boy, if I had chickens, I used to have chickens, and they came for my chickens, watch out. All right, back to a bit of sport. AFL player suspended. I think this is not a new thing. I think we've talked about this before, certainly involving other players. But what's happened here?
Yes, so another AFL player has been suspended for using the F-bomb, which is faggot, though it was in a VFL match. So first-year St Kilda player Lance Collard, he used it 10 times in a game. Jeremy Finlayson, the Port Adelaide player who first said it, he got 3 games. Then Gold Coast player Will Powell got 5 games for saying it. He only got 6 games for saying it 10 times. People were saying, well, if you're wanting to increase the penalty, shouldn't you get a 10-week ban for saying it 10 times? But he only got 6 weeks. And people are speculating whether he got a discount because he is Aboriginal. Though is very
a discount.
Pale-skinned Aboriginal, though. Should it not matter what race or ethnicity? I mean, it came from a player's mouth on the football field.
I mean, it's not pleasant, and things sometimes aren't pleasant, but that's like sledging, isn't it, in the end?
It is, though the fact that he said it 10 times, it wasn't a slip of the tongue.
No.
In the heat
no
of the-
okay. All right. I don't know what I think about that. I mean, it's not nice, but, you know, to single it out and punish someone heavily for that.
I think the AFL, they'd prefer all footballers to be like the Collingwood Premiership captain, Darcy Moore, who, well, his girlfriend is a Triple J radio host. And on her show, The Hookup, which is a relationships podcast radio show, so her name is Dee Salmon, said that they haven't moved in together, but when they do, they'll sleep in separate bedrooms to fend off heteronormative learned patriarch behaviours.
What does that mean?
Well, her reasoning is that when a woman moves in with a male partner, she can lose independence. So, that's apparently, and so Darcy Moore, he's already got a reputation as a woke footballer. So he said that he was voting yes for the voice referendum during the off season. He guest co-hosted the project.
And, oh dear, that's not good.
And he seems to be transitioning because when he was a young player, he had just a short, dark hair. But now he's got this long, dyed blonde hair and tan skin. So I wonder if he and his girlfriend get mistaken for a lesbian couple. They do. they do hang out with this lesbian singer G Flip and her wife, because they're Collingwood fans as well. So there are a lot of Collingwood supporters are saying that maybe he should focus on his footy because he hasn't been playing well, and neither have the Collingwood Magpies.
He could solve it all by just identifying as a woman when she moves in, and
well,
then that patriarchy problem would go away.
The AFLW, they don't accept trans women as players.
Oh, that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Even though, well, we have self-ID here in Victoria, and which just came into effect in Queensland, where there has been nearly 250 Queenslanders, including 11 children, have applied to legally change their gender. So two-thirds have been male to female, and then a quarter have been female to male, and then 10% have been for gender X. And you can apparently get on your
What's gender X? Sorry, I don't even know what that is. What's that?
Well, it can be whatever you want.
Oh,
you can
like get a kitten.
X on your Australian passport as well. So it's accommodated on passports as well, though. There have been cases where overseas in the US with the TSA where they've looked at this screening of trans women. It says female on their passport, but hang on, there looks like there's a suspicious package there.
Yeah. All right. Geez, I'm feeling suddenly very old-fashioned again. Okay, that's an interesting lineup of issues from, well, really the past 2 weeks. It's been that long since we've talked to him. Thank you for reporting in again. And maybe next time we chat Tuesday, we can catch up on the medal progress and whatever else is happening. But for now, We appreciate your report. Tim Wilms from the unshackled.net in Melbourne. See you in a week, Tim.
Thank you, Paul. Go the green and gold.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.